Oh, it's going to be good when we go into the book of Ruth. If you go to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. But first of all, I want to give you the title of this message because it's quite lengthy. And I've changed it a couple of times throughout the day. I was on the trail of one message, and God gave me this one instead. I don't know if the other one was just for me. It was in the same area. I did not get started in ministry until I lost everything I thought I needed. That's the title. I did not get started in ministry until I lost everything I thought I needed. I was sitting here thinking, I was getting ready, I'm letting you get to Book of Ruth. I don't even hear many pages turn. Y'all are fast. But as we were singing the other song, God spoke to my heart again. I was listening to Moody in about 2005. So I'm going to tell you right now, the names are not going to be here. And I remember this gentleman was speaking, and he was the president of a university. I don't know what university it was, but it was a huge university. He was the president of the Southern Baptist Association as well. And he was at the height of his career. He had he was well known. I'm sorry that I don't know the name. It was 2005, okay, when I heard it. 2004, 2005. His wife got critically ill, and he had to come home and take care of her. Every need she had. And it had went on for a year, and he went from probably one of the most well-known individual speakers and important people to somebody who was giving life care to his wife. And one day, God, I'm going to get, Lord, get. He was walking, he would take his wife, and they would walk down the street, and he would push her in a wheelchair. And he said, he got walking, he was feeling sorry for himself. We don't ever do that. He started feeling sorry for himself, and he was like, God, I used to be somebody. I was an important person, and for a year, it's like I'm not important. It's like you've taken everything away from me. And you've taken everything away from my wife. And he began to keep pushing her. And he said, he asked God, he goes, are you even pleased with me whatsoever? I'm not useful to you in any way. And he said, a homeless man was walking down the block, barely shuffling. And he could see him coming. And he could tell that he was mumbling to himself. And he said, he got closer and he got closer. And he said, and he asked again, he said, God, are you even pleased with me? And the homeless man got within ear range and he said, that's good. That's real good. And he got right beside him and he heard him say, I like that. I like that. And he said, God, is that you? And as the man passed by, he said, that's real good work. That's real good work. And he realized at that moment, God was more pleased with him in the care that he gave his wife than he did as the president of the university and the president of the Southern Baptist Association. God is just, sometimes you think what's important to people is not important to God. And the way God's going to use you sometimes, you think it's going to be, you're going to be standing up on top of the mountain and everybody's going to be hearing you and everybody's going to be seeing you and everybody's going to be doing it. But sometimes it's when you've lost everything you thought you needed to be important. So we get to Naomi. And I'm going to give you a couple verses at the end of every chapter of Ruth. Naomi lost it all. And at the end of every chapter in the book of Ruth, she gives wisdom. Great wisdom. Let's look at it. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 21 and verse 22. Let me give you some context before we go there while you're turning. She's standing back in Bethlehem. And she's standing next to the ministry that God has given her, but she's lost her husband and her two sons. She's She's standing directly in God's will, but she absolutely doesn't know she is. She is carrying, she is walking with, she is ministering to, and will become a leader to a woman who will bring about the lineage of Jesus Christ. She will be Obed's mother, amen, Jesse's grandmother, and David's great-great-grandmother. And she doesn't even know that she's standing by her ministry. That, when I thought about preaching this message, and God started developing it today, I started thinking, man, this is awesome and this is scary. Because we want to be in great ministry, we want to do great work for God, we want to bring about Jesus, we want to do something that would grow the kingdom, that would represent Jesus Christ, would do something so amazing. And you know what? God might strip you down, dismantle you completely to the fact that you think you're the biggest failure in the world. And you're standing right in the center of God's will, saying stuff that will help somebody bring out Jesus, and you don't even know it. How about that? Watch this. Ruth chapter 1. And let's look. Don't get all excited and run off, because I'm gonna try to take my time. 21 and 22. I went out full. Let me get 20 just to be. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I love this. Some of you ladies in here, this might be slanted more to women somewhat tonight. I'm not sure. Some of you need to take this note down. This came through this week as well. I want you to see this. Sometimes you need to tell people what's really going on and how you really feel instead of how you want to appear to somebody. Because a lot of times we project like everything's all right. Like everything's okay. Now listen, you got to understand this. She came back, her name means joy. Happy joy, right? Here comes happy joy back to Bethlehem. Hey, welcome home, joy. Don't call me that. Absolutely, don't even open your mouth right now. My name, from now on, just call me Mara. Just call me bitter. I found my ministry in a bitter place. I had some bitter stuff happen to me. Golly, I'm on the edge right here, so y'all better get this. Some of y'all don't know this, but God will crush you sometimes to start a ministry in you. God will bring you, your spirit will be broke. Your heart will be broke. You will think the thing that you lost was the thing that you were supposed to do. I got this from my wife. I said, oh, look at this. I'm made to be a mama. Golly, bum. I'm made to be a wife. My ministry's at home. Anybody? Could you have imagined? Listen, I guarantee when Naomi had Mahlon and Chilion, when Elimelech said, we're having a boy, she said, you know what? There's my ministry. You know what? There are children of Bethlehem. They are lined up to do great things for God. That's my ministry. And they wasn't nothing wrong with it. I'm going to be a great wife, and I'm going to minister to these boys, and I'm going to raise great boys. And man, this is awesome. And all of a sudden, the bread ran out, the stuff ran out, and they said, we're moving down to Moab. Hard for me to be a good Jewish wife living in Moab. Yep, I'm going to preach real tonight. Just pack it up. It's hard for me to be a good wife down in Moab. Not all the Jewish women are going to see how awesome my house is going to be down from Moab. It's hard to see how awesome I'm going to be in Moab. But Elimelech, I married you. And we're taking my lunch. And man, got them two boys. Well, you know what? We're going to be a missionary family then. We are. We're going to go down there and we're going to change Moab. We're going to go down there and we're going to rock their world. Amen? And you get down there and guess what? They married two Moabite girls. God, I don't know what's going on, but this is wrecking my whole plan. Right? And then, you don't know this, but Mahlon and Chilion, their name, one is sick and the other one's failing. Who named these kids? Right? One of them had a runny nose all the time, sick and failing. And they passed away. The husband passed away first. Then she was thinking, man, I'm preaching. And she said, at least I got them two healthy boys. At least I got them. They're barely hanging on, but I got them. One and then the other. I ain't got nothing. I'm crushed. Have you ever felt like you hadn't had nothing? You feel like I ain't got nothing. And you just want everybody to get away from you. And you want to go somewhere and just, I don't know how you're even going to exist, but you're just trying to, man, I'm heading back to Bethlehem. You girls can get on back to your lives. And what, both of them, oh no, we won't say you. Listen, Orpah, she looks over, listen, I ain't having no kids no time soon. She's bitter. And you would be too. Bitter. Because there ain't no future. There ain't no looking down through there and seeing what the answer is. Sometimes life can give you things where you're looking down the annals of time and you're saying, I'm too old. Huh? Y'all need to write this stuff. I'm too old for this kind of change in my life. I don't got no backup plan. You girls better get back down there to Moab and marry you some husbands and get on with your lives. Bruce, I ain't going nowhere. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I'll die. Where they bury you, that's where they'll bury me. Well, come on, then. You see it? Come on. Walked all the way up to the gates of Bethlehem, and they're up there in the harvest. And, oh, look, here comes joy. You'd want to square up and get your best look about you. Man, I would rather have Naomi here than fake Naomi. Amen? We got too many fake people in our churches. Oh, I'm good. I'm all right. I'm doing good. Whole life's falling apart. Coming here every Sunday and Wednesday like everything's all right. Never cry. Now, man, in the old church, people used to pray through. The new church don't even know what that is. Not to get saved, to get through to God, to break through some of the stuff that was happening in your life and in your family. I love Naomi right here. She walks right up. Everybody's excited. And they, hey, Naomi, don't you dare right now. I wish we'd get real. We might have some more hurt feelings, but I think we'd be a better church sometimes if we just get real. Hey, man, I'm tired of putting on for you. There's a lot of bad stuff happening down the road in Moab. Just call me bitter. Could you imagine starting your ministry out in bitterness? Hey, I guarantee you, though, it happens. It's scary, but it happens. Ministry is sneaky. Your ministry will sneak up on you. You don't even know it. Your ministry will sneak up on you, stand beside you, and you'll think you're geared to do something else, and that ain't even what you're supposed to be doing. You're going to do the thing that you wouldn't. Man, you tried to get rid of. You tried to shake it off. You tried to get rid of it. Stay in Moab. I ain't staying in Moab. I don't want to do nothing with you. God, I wish I had some. Do you have anything that you just can't shake, but you don't want to do it? That's how I felt about it. I don't do that, God. That'll get you in trouble. That'll get you hurt. That'll get you out of the normal. That'll get you outside the realm of normal. God's like, that's what I've been trying to get you to do your whole life. Look at verse 22 or 21. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home empty. Again, empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Man, is she ministering or what? Listen, let's write this down, ladies. Write it down. Listen, it'll seep over on the men. I guarantee it will. Some man here is probably going to get more out of this than the women will. All right? Watch this right here. She just gave somebody some deep, deep wisdom. She said, when I thought, my God, when I thought I didn't have nothing, I had it all. When we left for Moab, we thought we were doing awful. We had everything. I had my husband and my two boys. Sometimes we can fuss and fight and argue and be mad and kick and scream, and we are so blessed. We can look over the, oh, they've got that, and they've got that, and their life's so much better, and now they can do that. We need to go and do this, and we need to have that, and we don't realize, lift our little hands every once in a while and say, thank God. Thank God we got healthy kids. Thank God we're together. Amen? She said, I love that one. She said, we went out full. Full. Sometimes you need to do a better inventory. Because you'll sit there and be complaining about something that really ain't even a, it's not even a matter. You're sitting there and you could go somewhere and somebody would trade places. What's your biggest problem right now? Well, we got this little issue at our house and I don't like it. It's just really aggravating and it's a bar really bothering me. And somebody right now is taking chemo and they're going, gosh, I would love to have your issue. I would gladly sit there with you and do that. Amen? Oh, that church, the temperature's not right, this is not right, and the lights, they didn't do that. And there's somebody in a nursing home right now would love for you just to come by and have church with them for 5 minutes. I'll go, and I won't complain. I'll go back in a heartbeat. Naomi ministers to everybody sitting there. She goes, man, I went out full. Y'all need to take it. Y'all are blessed. Y'all are blessed people. Her ministry just got kicked off, and she didn't even know it. Your ministry can start, and the people that you're ministering to are watching you. And guess what? Even in a crisis, they can see God. Ruth could look at Naomi and say, I still want you what you have over what Moab has any day of the week. Because if you didn't read between the lines, you know what she kept saying? God has dealt with me. I've done something wrong, and God's coming after me. It's not God's fault. It's somehow my fault. Man, if we get in any kind of trouble whatsoever, we shake our fist at God. Here she is. She's lost her husband, her two boys, and she has no future. And all she can say is, you know, God's against me. And I must have done something. God's against me. And he's God. You don't ever see her railing on God. Man, ain't that good? Well, she is. Let's go get another one. Ruth chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. It's so good. Now, I know I'm going to give you some more context, but just trust me. She's ministering right here. Ain't it neat when your ministry's good and you don't even know it's good? And you're seeing people change and you don't even know they're changing? Naomi said unto her, Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou goest out into the out with his maidens, and they meet thee not in any other field. Let me break it down American English right there. Hey, sis, listen. She come home, and Boaz blessing her. Let's her drink where the maids drink. Let her eat from where the, and let her garner where everybody's garnering from the corner of the fields, and letting her have some on purpose. So an older lady comes to a younger lady. Listen, an older lady comes to a younger lady. Some of our older men need to go to some of our younger men, not in anger, but in to help. She goes like this. She said, now he's done all that? He's done all that for you? Yeah, he's Boaz. That's Boaz's field. I like Boaz. He's a good man. Good. Now he did that for you? Yeah, okay. Listen, don't go nowhere else. Y'all didn't get it either. Listen, don't let any of the other maids catch you in another field. Because you know what? That's an older lady telling a younger lady, I've had my eye on other fields before, and there's some, God, I wish I could really preach in here. I have looked over into some other fields and think I see something over there that would be just as good as what God's given me over here. And man, look at them workers over there. Huh? Oh, look at that field. Look at there. They might have a better, but you don't know the owner of the field like you know Boaz. So Ruth's ministering, and Naomi is ministering to Ruth, and she don't even know it. She gives her some wise advice. Stick in the right place. Some of you, listen, not when you're mad, God, not when you're mad, not when you're frustrated, not when you're hurt, when you got that relationship. Does anybody got any teenagers in here? When you get that moment when they're happy with you, when they say, hey, Mom, let's talk. Hey, Dad, what's going on? That's when you go. You do a drive-by on them. Hey, I see these guys right here that run around. They're good boys. Seem like they got their stuff together. That'd be some good guys to hang out with. And you know what? I noticed this guy, you know, this over here. And maybe just stick with that. Amen? Not today you're mad at them. Not today that you had it dueling fist fights. I'm talking about, you know, when everything's cool. All right. I love Naomi. Naomi's like, hey, I see something here. There's something good here. I was a young girl too at one time. And I know what it's like. See, I've been a young man too. I know what it's like. You might want to stay here. It's a good place, good thing. Amen? Whew. Look at this. Verse 23. So she kept fast by the maidens and Boaz and gleaned unto him and to the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Not only stay with the people, but stay with the owner of the field. Golly, I wish I could preach for... Don't only hang out with the church people, but hang out with the king. Amen? Don't only go for the people and the fellowship and the iron and the sharp of the iron and you're feeding and they're edifying and man, everybody's doing good. That's good and all, but that can break down. You can have some moments in church where everybody don't see eye to eye. You have a bad attitude, they have a bad attitude, they got issues, we got issues, this is tired, that's tired. But guess what? Keep your eye on Boaz. Keep your eye on the king. He's always good. Amen? Even if you get frustrated with what's going on in the field, stay with him. He's been good to you when you didn't deserve anybody being good to you. Right? He was good to you first. Amen? He was good to you first. That's your first love. That's that one. He loved you first. He was loving you before anybody else loved you. Is that good advice? Man, Naomi's doing good ministry, ain't she? She's still bitter. She still can't see what's going on. But even in her bitterness, the ministry's breaking down the bitterness. Amen? The thing that she wanted to shake off is still, man, it's still there. It's in her house. It's going in and out and doing stuff, and it's kind of pumping life back into her, and she don't even realize that she's in life and she's in ministry. And guess what? The things that she lost are still hurting her, still miserable. But guess what? Things are beginning to turn and change, and I found a new way to live, a new way to serve, and there's a little bit of hope. But my gosh, I wish somebody had get this. God's good, ain't he? He's not only bringing Jesus through Ruth, he's restoring Naomi without a plan. No plan, no husband, no future. God said, don't worry, I got you. And he's telling somebody in here, don't worry, I got you. When I was preparing this message, I could see faces coming up, just different people in this church. And I started thinking, man, there's some people in here who've lost husbands, who lost wives, who've lost children. And guess what? At one point, you thought, I'll never be able to do this. I won't never be able to walk in that church. I won't never be able to do this. I don't even know how to start. I don't know how to begin. They did this and they did that. I feel empty. I feel incomplete. I don't even know how. I can't help nobody. And all of a sudden, your ministry came out of a bitter, broken place. Ruth chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. She's going to minister again. And she said, man, this is so, y'all good for this one? Watch this. This gets real good. And she said, this is Ruth came home and she had a bunch of wheat and barley and stuff. She was stacked up. I'm sorry. Only way I could say it. And she said, these six measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Woo, glory. Sorry. Watch. She went to him and covered his feet when he was at the barley harvest. She didn't try too much on him. She just went down there to let him know that I love you, and I love you enough, I'll just cover your feet, I'll stay low. See, she worked her way into the field by the corner. She's working her way into a relationship on the corner of his garment, on the outside working inside, amen? She's like, I'll just get right down here on the corner, I'll cover your feet, I love you. I don't want what's in the hand. I want what's in the heart, amen? I'm not seeking your hand, I'm seeking your face. Some of y'all keep seeking God's hand instead of seeking his face. If you'll seek his face, you'll get what's in his hand when you need it. Amen. She gets over there and she's like, I was down there with him and he recognized me and then, you know, he didn't do do anything rude to me, and I didn't do anything rude to him. But he sent me away before anybody could wake up because he didn't want to embarrass me. Woo! Find you a man. Let me tell this to you. Find somebody who thinks more of you than they think of themselves. And he gave her something. Goodness gracious, I could preach for hours. Find a man who wants to give you something of value because you're valuable. That's what we need to be. Man, he said, listen. He wasn't even talking about her. He said, take this home to your mother-in-law. God's working through him, through Naomi, to help, through Ruth, to help Naomi. Man, God, I wish y'all could see this. Man, it's right early in the morning, and she's got barley on her head, barley in her dress. This is crazy. She's like walking in, and I don't know about you, but in this third world come out, open the door, and man, it smell like, man, whoa. What, you's wheat and barley, man? He loves me, right? Look at this. He cares about me. And you know they had that session, right? Golly, girls, women, you ain't going to believe this. Come on. You're not going to believe this. Hopping up now. I did exactly what you told me to do. I got a little. And he just stacked wheat and barley on top of my head. I think I'm in love. Naomi's like, calm down. Look what she says. God, this is so good. Ed, this is good stuff right here. Watch. Then she said, sit still. God, how many times do you want to tell your kids that? Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Whew! Set yourself down and wait. What? Some good. Man, she's a minister now. She is surpassing the bitterness, and she knows some things. She can go back and say, wait a minute, I can remember when Elimelech, he wanted to marry me. He's going to get the job done. He's going to my daddy's house. Right? And he's going to talk it out with my daddy. And he's going to give what it takes to get me. I'm just going, and I couldn't sit. So I got some good advice for you, Ruth. You need to sit down. Because this guy you got right here is the real deal. Before the day's over, he's going to have this done. That's why I wanted to preach so bad. I'm not going to preach it tonight. But man, he went to the nearest kinsman. That's a whole nother message. But my goodness, you know what? That's what Jesus does for us. He goes to the next kin. He goes to the place and says, can you redeem? And that thing says, I can't or I won't. And Jesus says, I can and I will. Praise God. Golly, I want to. Ain't that good? God. I can't and I won't. I can and I will. Whew. Goodness gracious. Goodness gracious. And he did. I loved how he did it. He came to the next kinsman redeemer and he looked at him and he said, there's a parcel of land down here owned by Naomi and somebody needs to redeem it. And boy, that man, if there's any good in it, that guy's like, yeah, I'll tell you, I need some more land. Everybody wants land. But that Moabite girl comes with a deal. He said, I can't mess my name up. I can't mess my name up. I won't redeem her. He said, you won't redeem her? Because I won't redeem her. See, because I don't care about my name. See, it ain't about my name. Ministry ain't about our names. It's about his name. See, I think every person in the Bible that's in the lineage of Christ has a characteristic of Christ. Amen? And see, the one that Boaz has, his characteristic is he don't mind to take somebody who's going to mar his name because he loves more than he cares about his name. Listen, he'd rather be in a relationship with his bride than worry about what her name means to his status. If you ain't figured it out yet, we ain't good on Jesus' name. But he didn't care to mar his name up to save us, to marry us. We're gonna look, not all of you, some of us. We ain't making the best looking bride. Man, wait till the party starts. Whew. Never mind. I'll be sitting over there going, hey, he married me. I didn't marry him. He came after me. I didn't come after him. He pursued me. I didn't pursue him. Let's get our last thing. Verse 15. I don't know if she says this. Ruth chapter 4, verse 15. Look at this. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. Whew. Naomi is sitting there holding the future that she couldn't see. Little Obed. God, I didn't think it's going. Sitting there holding him going, kings and kingdoms are going to come through you. Kings and kingdoms. I could have never imagined. Amen. So when I lost Elimelech and I lost my two boys, I thought God was done with me, but he wasn't done with me. He was just getting me ready to be your great grandmother. he was just getting me ready to be your grandmother, because he knew he needed somebody that's going to be a direct line of Christ. And we were close, but we wasn't close enough. So God took some things that I thought he should have took, but he gave me some stuff that I can't be upset now, because the things that I'm doing now is bringing forth Jesus. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became a nurse unto it. And the woman and her neighbors gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse and the father of David. Whew. Could you see her? Can you see her? Her ministry was to Ruth, and she didn't even know it. But because she ministered to Ruth, she got Obed. And when Obed came, they didn't say, hey, that's Ruth's boy. They said, that's Naomi's boy. Amen? Because she ministered to Ruth in her bitterness, in the place where she saw, there's no good left in me. Call me Mara. And now at the end of this, she ain't mentioning Mara, because God's good. Guys, listen. He said, why are you preaching this? I said, I'm telling you exactly why. God's not done with you. Look around in your brokenness, in your bitterness, in your weakness, in your failings, when you don't think nobody else cares. God says, I can still use you if you want to be used. You can minister to people through bitterness and brokenness, and it can turn into bringing Christ to people who never knew it was coming. I don't know how to end this.